The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. I ask again, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, because Noah obeyed God. So he found grace or favor with God. Now that ought to tell us something if we have ears to hear, and that is that grace, pardon of sin, and favor with God in Christ go hand in hand with obedience. As Paul said, what then, shall we sin, or shall we continue to sin, that is, continue to break God's law, that grace may abound? In other words, so that you can have more grace, he went on to say, God forbid. Yes, God forbid that you continue to sin, that you continue to break God's law. Once you have come under grace. The wages of sin is death, as we quoted earlier in our last program from Romans 6, verse 23, and that means the second death, from which there will be no resurrection. That second death is the lake of fire, and God makes that very plain in His Word. Notice what God has to say here in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. This is speaking to people under grace, Christians that have been pardoned. If you willfully sin, that is, go back to breaking God's law after you have understood and lived in the bounds of grace and salvation, then you, out of rebellion, turn back as a sow to her wallowing to the mire and like a dog to his vomit, then God says you will never be pardoned again. You have sealed your fate. The lake of fire awaits you. Notice verse 27. God makes that very plain. But there will be a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. Speaking of a harsh judgment and that final judgment, hell fire, that awaits you. Verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now God goes on, he tries to draw a comparison here for us. How much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Now what that means is, my friends, verse 29 means if you count the sacrifice, the death, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your sins, if you count that unholy and worthless, Christ says that there will be a lake of fire awaiting for you. Going on here in verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Yes, there is a judgment coming on everyone. And God says vengeance is his, and he is going to take vengeance when it comes time for him to do so. God is very merciful, very gracious, very patient, and he will give everyone ample opportunity to repent and turn to God. But if they don't, then that fiery indignation and hell fire, the second death penalty, awaits for anyone that won't repent after they have been given ample opportunity to do so. Verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, meaning to be at odds with God, His word, His way, which He has commanded you to live. You will be judged according to your works. God is no respecter of person. Going on here, verse 1 of Hebrews 6. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Paul is telling us, that is, if you are a Christian and want to continue to be one, that you can't go back being your old self, your old lifestyle of breaking God's law, which is sin, that you were cleansed of by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you are laying the old foundation of sin and dead works. He is telling us that we can't continue to live a sinful lifestyle, but that we should grow to maturity in Christ. Put on more and more of Jesus Christ. Build His mind, His attitude, His character, by striving to live by every word of God. And that means obeying His laws. Paul nowhere tells us that grace voids the law. Neither did Christ or any of the apostles. But notice what Paul did tell us. I want to repeat this, my friends, hoping that you will understand. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, and it means go on to maturity, spiritual maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, he is telling us not to deny the faith and the doctrine that is required if you want to be saved. Going on here, verse 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and it means those who have understood the plan of salvation, says if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Speaking about those that would be called in this life as well as during the millennial rule of Christ and the second resurrection, that would have an opportunity to know and live and understand God's plan of salvation and repent and be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, that if they go back to their unconverted state, then they seal their fate. My friends, grace does not void the law, and the Bible does not teach that it does. The Greek word charis, translated into English as grace, merely means undeserved pardon or favor. You are forgiven of sin by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, set free from sin, which is the breaking of God's holy, spiritual, righteous laws. Grace doesn't give you license to live in sin by breaking God's law. That's why Christ had to die, so your sins could be forgiven. Christ died because this world has transgressed his law. I hope you will understand that you aren't set free from law, from obeying the law, all 10 of them. But you can be freed from the penalty of the law, the death penalty, the second death. The wages of sin is death, and that means the second death in the lake of fire. Christ paid that penalty for you. He didn't nail the law to the stake. Neither did he keep the law in your stead. You are required to obey and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It was lawlessness that brought the flood on the earth. God destroyed all mankind except the 8 people he saved by the ark because of lawlessness, iniquity, sin. God also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of lawlessness, breaking his law, not keeping his commandments. And this world that you and I live in today will bring mankind to the brink of annihilation. Mankind will bring himself to the brink of annihilation, and we would destroy all life from this planet because of lawlessness. As Paul said, lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. Yes, if Jesus Christ doesn't return and put a stop to man's lawless deeds and save man from himself, mankind would eventually annihilate himself. Notice what God has to say in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. But did you notice that, my friend? Christ is saying that lawlessness is going to get worse. And I think that you and I, if we have our eyes open at all, we understand that lawlessness is getting worse. And God says, going on here in Matthew 24, skipping up to verse 21, speaking of the very end time, the very time that Christ has to return to save mankind from himself, beginning in verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not has been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. Christ is saying because of lawlessness, tribulation and troubles are going to increase. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Yes, God is telling us that he's going to have to send Jesus Christ back to this earth to save mankind from himself. We should deeply appreciate the love of God in giving his son's life for the sins of the world. Yes, sins repented of. So grace, the pardon of your sins is possible when you meet the requirements of God by repenting of your sins. The breaking of God's law, being baptized and receive the Holy Spirit to help you walk in newness of life and obedience to God's word, and that means his laws also. Notice in Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, what God has to say, what Christ says, some of the very last words that was inspired to be written Revelation 21, beginning in verse 7. If you still think that you can go back, continue to break God's law once you have been under grace, notice in Revelation 21, verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Now overcome, that means overcome your way, overcome this world, this system, this Babylonian system, Satan's system that we live in. I will be his God and he shall be my son. Now notice what Christ says here in verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, Christ is telling us that anyone that continues to break his law, they will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. If you don't think it's important or necessary to obey God and to repent and come under the grace, that undeserved pardon for breaking God's holy, righteous, spiritual laws, then that is where you're going to wind up, is in the lake of fire. May God open your mind to understand. And if he is, what are you going to do? It will pay big dividends to answer God's call. Yes, if God is calling you to repentance, my friends, it would pay big dividends to hear and to answer that call. But it's up to you. God doesn't force. Well, I ask again, aren't we all confused today about right and wrong, truth and error? We are living in a Babylonish world, a world of confusion. We are living in a world that's deceived. But if you want more understanding of God's way of life, request our free articles, Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the free articles, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing, by calling the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. That's thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Or request our articles, Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the article, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing, by calling the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, daily or weekly, depending which station you hear the Way It Ought to Be program, and continue to request our free literature, CDs, and tapes. Have a good day, my friends, and may God open your heart, your mind to understand his way.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764.